The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, thank you for coming to our celebration. And it was quite something to come in here and have the place be so celebratory and party-ish. I'm sure there was lots of mindful partying going on. And I was reminded that when we first started to discuss finding a community meditation for ourselves, like what's become IMC here, was back in 1995 or 96 in Palo Alto. And early on, we started, you know, having a fundraising committee to raise money so we could do this kind of thing. And we had a fundraising committee meeting. And in the meetings, I think it was Terry Lesser, our yoga teacher here. I think she's the one who said it, who said, the money follows the practice. And we all relaxed. And we forgot about, we didn't forget, we decided not to pursue fundraising. And instead, what we did is we put on more Dharma programs. We started the Sunday morning program in Portola Valley, partly because of that. And then we also decided to have a community event, which was a big dinner. And at a church we did events at in Palo Alto named St. Mark's, we organized a big dinner. 150 people came. We cooked it. Vicki Austin from San Francisco Zen Center came down and was the head cook. And we had the whole thing of cooking and set up like this. And we had musicians like we had tonight playing string instruments. Thank you for those of you who played. And that dinner was 13 years ago. So once every 13 years at least, we should have dinners like this. And that was a happy event, and this was a happy event today. And that dinner kind of represented a kind of a milestone for us as a community, gathering together and organizing and created the momentum for this place here, Insight Meditation Center. And there's already a lot of momentum for our new retreat center, but I think this dinner here marks a certain kind of turning point for us and kind of also kind of a building a momentum kind of really heading into this amazing opportunity that's here for us is to create the retreat center. And it's something that makes me very happy. I'm very motivated by, because I know from my own life, but also from all the people that I've taught on retreat, how transformative it is for people to be on retreat, how meaningful it is. I know of it as one of the most life-changing and meaningfully life-changing events that anybody can experience in life. Touches people in tremendously profound ways. I mean, it's kind of surprising, right? You sit around and do nothing. Seemingly. But it's a kind of nothing that that touches the deepest places in our hearts and our minds, changes it. And I think it's a really amazing offer to the world that we are going to be able to create a retreat center, that we can offer lots of retreats for many people. The world needs more retreat centers, for sure. And I think of retreat centers as a little bit like nature refuges or nature preserves, that are there to preserve something that's considered sacred, like a sanctuary. And the sanctuary that's what's being preserved or safeguarded is the beauty, the sanctity, the profundity of the human heart and the possibility for freedom and compassion that is there. And I think the national government, you know, like the state government, like, just like they make parks, they used to make parks. And they should also create these sanctuaries for, mind sanctuaries or heart sanctuaries, because I think it's such a meaningful thing for our world to have places where people can go and be supported in this kind of deep contemplative, deep meditative work that can be done. When we were looking to buy this building here, the original vision was to have a building that was property was big enough that we could have some residential retreats on the property, pretty small scale. Mostly we're hoping for something where we can have little hermitages for people who can do self retreats for a long time. You know, six of them in the back of the property or something. But we were always kind of looking a little bit in that direction. And after we bought this property, the next kind of catalyst to think about a retreat center was we heard that the next door, the dentist property, might be for sale. And we thought, well, maybe we could try to buy it, and maybe we can that could be the beginning of trying to create something here in Redwood City. And so a committee was formed, and that was in 2004. We'd been here 3 years. And we started coming up with a plan and documentation for it, and it wasn't made for sale next door, so that didn't work out. And then in 2006, somewhat out of the blue, Steve Gassner was one of the instigators. Somehow, he was, you know, he has to take some responsibility for this. A Sangha member came forward with this huge gift for us of $2 million for the purpose of us having a retreat center. And she actually was very generous. She said, you know, it doesn't have to be for a retreat center. Whatever you want. She kind of trusted us. But the intention was a retreat center. And so that started us seriously. Then we were kind of like, we thought we were in the ballpark. You know, to do something. And Susan Ezekiel, for the first year or 6 months, did a lot of research for us. And then Carol Collins picked it up and for about 5 years now has been tirelessly, or maybe not so tirelessly, working very, very hard, looking all over the peninsula. She looked at hundreds of properties, literally, and investigating and talking to people and doing all the work, and identified a few properties that seemed pretty interesting for us, and we would get excited by it and look at it, and usually something would happen and it didn't work out. And we learned a lot in the process. We learned how difficult it is to find something that can be a retreat center with the use permits and zoning laws and neighbors and all kinds of issues come into play. Almost 2 years ago now, Kim McLaughlin somehow was, and Carol, found this property in Scotts Valley, and told me about it, and I said no. So much for that. And so then a year later, it came up again at a meeting we were having to talk about this, and I said, wait a minute. This is maybe interesting. So I drove down in that direction to find out how far a drive it is from here. I thought it was going to be too far. And to my surprise, it was 15 minutes in good traffic. I said, wow, here I am. And I said, this is interesting. And I looked at the property and I said, this is interesting. So I called them up and Carol and people set up a tour and I got a tour and I saw the property and I said, this works. This is pretty nice. And so then we started our investigation and research it took to look into it. And everything was kind of a surprise. For the most part, it seemed like all the doors were opening, all the right things were happening. For a while, we were told, other people told us we couldn't do it. We couldn't get a use permit for our use. We checked in with some land use experts. And they said, no, you can't do it. And for your purpose, this can't be. Then we found another land use person who said, yeah, it can be done. And so then we set in motion the process of getting a use permit. And it turned out that somehow or other, the county of Santa Cruz people kind of liked us and liked what we were going to do. And for the most part, the impression we got is they kind of, not that they made it easy for us, you know, extra easy or something, but it seemed like they looked upon us favorably, and it went through relatively easily. our use permit. It took, you know, the usual 3 months or so, and then we met the neighbors. We thought, you know, because we'd looked at a property up in Skyline some years ago, and the neighbors said, "No way." Actually, that happened twice for us. We saw properties we really liked, and the neighbors said, "No way." And in fact, the second property we looked at, the neighbor was a land use lawyer. So, you know, well, no way, you know, okay. So we met with the neighbors there, and a whole bunch, I don't know, 20 or so of the neighbors came, and it was a love fest. It was amazing. None of us expected it. Before the meeting started, an immediate neighbor came up to me and said, "We've been here for 35 years. We were here before it was built up to these homes and stuff that are around. And there used to be forests here." And she said, "We used to walk in these forests right here. We used to say, 'This is a good place for a meditation center.'" And then she said, "Will you be offering meditation classes?" And I kind of, because I was a little bit defensive, you know, the neighbors, and you know, have to make a good impression. And I was a little bit concerned that she was worried about all these traffic, you know, classes, you know, people coming and everything. And I said, "No," which was true. We're not planning to have classes there. We're planning to have residential retreats. And so I said, "No," and her face dropped. She had hoped that she said, "I was ready to put a gate in our fence. So I can come over." So that was, and then other stories like that, the neighbors. So it seems like we're really well received as a community of people who we already feel connected to, and so it keeps going. You know, it seems like there's a lot of goodness and a lot of goodwill that's happening with this. So that's the way I hoped that it would happen, that our creation of our center would happen in a field of goodwill. And I really hope that it's not just that we're going to create a retreat center where people can come on retreat and have the benefits of retreat. I'm hoping that we can create a retreat community, a retreat culture, that even people looking and seeing what we're doing there are inspired by what we're doing, that's meaningful somehow for our society. The fact that we're going to offer the plan, which we're going to try really, really hard to make work, is to offer retreats freely. That's the dedication that we were all devoted to. And just like IMC is offered that way, it's a very profound thing to do. It's a delicate thing to do, and it requires, actually, even though it doesn't looks kind of laid back, it requires a lot of careful thought and protection and responsibility and caring for that kind of system. But that's what we're going to do, and I think it's a very powerful thing. It's very powerful, I think, to the world to see a spiritual practice being offered freely, supported freely, both financially and also by a community of people who are volunteering to help it. I think that people's practice can grow beautifully when they take responsibility for the place they practice in. The idea of spiritual practitioners being consumers, I think, goes against the grain of what Buddhist practice is about, and one of the ways to protect from that is to create a culture, a system, where the people who would like to, for whom it works for and is meaningful, can help be the people who care for it, take responsibility for it, nourish it, support it, and I feel that's what's happened here in Redwood City and IMC. It's been one of the really great bright lights in my life that this exists here. I think it's phenomenal. It's very unusual. I know some people who just happened to live in the neighborhood stumbled on it, like Victor. Where's Victor? He's already gone. You know, he just lives up the street, right? He's right there, right? And you know, he just takes us for granted, right? I mean, just like he just walks down here, and you know, like, you know, just the neighborhood. It's the neighborhood. You know, there's 7-Eleven and there's Starbucks and there's, you know. Insight Meditation Center.
Every neighborhood should have.
Everyone should, yeah. But I think it's quite unusual and quite special that we have this here. And I'm hoping we can do the same thing with this retreat center. So the property is 2.8 acres. It's enough property for us to kind of do retreats. It's a little bit small. I mean, it's good a little bit to have some decompression zone. sometimes to people who go for little walks. And it happens to be that next door there's a timber preserve. It's 38 acres that cannot be built on, except maybe tent platforms or something. And it's quite a beautiful property. It has some places that are kind of flat and wooded and could be tent sites and for walking sites and little meditation platforms, and it's quite nice. And then it has a very steep, maybe a little too steep, unfortunately, but quite steep gorge that goes down, kind of a valley. And there's a wild, you know, just a couple of minutes up from Santa Cruz, by the crow's flies, but there's a wild river that is kind of like the river at Tussahara. If those of you have been to Tussahara, it's kind of shallow. I mean, it's not that deep, but I was told that there are watering holes that are 4 or 5 feet deep you can lay in. But it has this beautiful, wild feeling right there. And it's privately owned, and the person who owns it is kind of interested in selling it. So it would be great at some point if we can buy it and have that as next door as a place for support the retreat center and all that. The building was built 25 years ago by the current owner. It was one of her loves. She said she had two loves in her life besides her husband. But two loves. One was caring for people, so she had a nursing home. And the other was architecture and building. So she designed and built this building. And it was her love and pride, and she took care of it very well. She's delighted that we're having it. I think somehow that her heart is in there. She really wants us to have it somehow. Beautiful thing, I think. You know, when we looked at it initially, it's all like relatively easy to convert. Being somewhat naive, we thought it wouldn't cost too much. And it has 6,000 square feet of undeveloped second floor, so just open kind of joists and kind of open. And that's a lot. 6,000 square feet is a lot of square feet. And so that space is going to be the meditation hall, a walking meditation hall, 13 or so single rooms, bedrooms, and two sets of bathrooms. So that's just kind of just a shell we can easily go in and fill. It has 10 very large single kind of suites for the nursing home patients with their own bathroom. And those are so big, and they have two doors going in to each of these rooms, that it's very easy for us to divide it in two. Shared bathroom for the two rooms, but each person can. So it's relatively easy to get. We're going to get 40 rooms, single rooms for retreatants. Some people think, well, single rooms is kind of a luxury, and it is certainly a luxury. But the many years' experience of us putting on retreats at Spirit Rock, it's not a luxury. It's for the people who are running the retreat, for the teachers, the managers, the staff. It makes life so much easier. So much easier. The complications with roommates are just endless. Endless. And this one snores, this one doesn't. Windows open, windows closed, this one is sick, this one has allergies, this one, you know, goes to bed late, this one gets up early, and then we, you know. And then they come to the teacher, and we have to say, you have to practice with it. And then they get irritated with the teachers. Teachers don't understand. And so they're just single rooms. And if you have problems with that, practice with it. So it'll make it a lot easier for the whole to try to run it as a volunteer thing, and the kind of efficiency and ease that really we want to have. It's going to be a lot easier with single rooms. And it has room for staff, the managers, the cooks. It has a beautiful kitchen. It's quite large space to build out, to add the kitchen. It has a big enough dining room. It has a beautiful grounds. It has this beautiful deck that has, nice picnic tables. It has a porch that goes all the way around. The veranda goes all the way around. When we bought this building, I took Paul Disco to see this building here. Paul Disco is California's great Zen architect. He studied 5 years Zen Japanese architecture, temple architecture in Japan, and. He built many of the buildings for a Zen center in San Francisco. He's a Zen center priest. And he looked at this building, and the only thing he really told me that I remember was, you have to build a walkway, a veranda, all the way around the building. There's just enough space on the other side, the alley. Because in Zen, to be able to walk around the building is a very important part of Zen training. And so this one has one. It's a veranda. It looks less Zen and more like the South. So we're very fortunate to be able to buy this. And we've always been very careful at IMC with the finances, never to kind of stretch ourselves in a way that we would get in financial trouble and feel stressed around money. And so we basically bought the whole, we had enough money to buy the whole property, which was $2.6 million. And the what we don't have money for, we have money now for, we've reserved enough money so that we could comfortably kind of take care of the building and whatever our expenses are going to be for the next about 2 years, year and a half or so. So we kind of feel safe. We always want to have this cushion or be careful that way. But what we don't have money for is the renovation. And it turned out the renovation's probably going to cost more than my naive assumption initially. Now that we have construction designs and we've been able to talk to contractors, and we still don't have the bids we have to have. We still have working on all that. So we don't know, but we're now anticipating that the remodeling and the forest next door, if we can buy that, will cost us about. We're hoping to raise $2.3 million to be able to do that, so that's the big task. We've never tried to raise that much money before. So it's a little bit of a daunting task, but it just seems to me like everything's working so well. There's so much goodwill, so much enthusiasm for this project, so many people who are coming forward saying they're going to help. There's a huge pool of people who've, you know, are helping, and it just seems that it's really worth trying to do it. And we're doing it, trying to do it in such a way that even if we didn't have to, we couldn't do any of the remodeling at all, we're not going to get in trouble. So we're, you know, trying to be careful that way. But to be able to do this remodeling and create a place that, you know, that can serve people for many, many, many decades, centuries to come, I think is something that is really inspiring. I think of retreat centers as the wellspring out of which flows, the source out of which flows mature practitioners, people who can serve our society in important ways, and the next generation of Buddhist teachers, you know, a whole bunch of things. So I think it's a good thing to do it. So now the task is to fundraise, and so I want to tell you a little bit about the fundraising. So the goal is $2.3 million. We have this, you know, officially tonight's the launch of that fundraising campaign. But people haven't waited for the launch. People, you know, the people don't listen. It was a funny story. So when we were back in, are you okay still? It's okay, keep talking about stories. So back in the Palo Alto days, we were thinking about having a center of our own, like a community center like this one here. And so we were looking around and stuff, and we didn't really have any money, but that didn't stop us. But we found a building, a church in Palo Alto called the AME Zion Church, which hadn't been used for some 25, 30 years. And we said, that's the place. Location's good because we used to be in Palo Alto, and we can remodel it. The fact that the roof had caved in, there was a big hole, and the walls were slanted, didn't bother me. And so it looked like an interesting, you know, possibility, though some people thought I was crazy, right? And so we had a community meeting in order to find out if our community was interested in this, and, you know, this is something that was interesting to pursue. And so we had this meeting, and some 100 people showed up, and we made a presentation about this church and what it could mean and all that. And And we said, you know, thank you for coming. That's it. You know, and you kind of, we got some information, and people started coming up to us at the end of the meeting and giving us checks. And we weren't prepared to receive checks. And by the end of the evening, how much did we have? We had like $30,000. In the evening, $75,000. So I'm not, you know, expecting, I'm not saying this could happen tonight, but but what I'm saying is that we didn't have to wait for even for the party. But people have already made donations. So it's going. I think it's going very well. We feel like we have some momentum. I'll tell you. But the exciting news in terms of fundraising, to me, amazing news. It kind of just kind of broke my heart open. And when I read the email yesterday morning, in a beautiful way, was someone who comes here offered a matching pledge. So one-to-one matching pledge, and it's for $500,000. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's like, wow. So that means the donations we receive are worth twice, you know. He was hoping, he said in the email, he was hoping that some other person or family would kind of match his $500,000 so that it can be like a 3-to-1 thing. That was his wish. That was his wish. So I should say it, I guess. But but anyway, so that's it happened. And then, but in addition to that, we've received about $75,000 in donations this year so far. And about $45,000 in something like pledges, something like money that's been told it's coming in for us. So we already have something like $120,000 in actual kind of, you know, donations or things that will supposed to be donations very soon. So that's, you know, I wasn't anticipating that at all. So it feels like, you know, we have this wonderful thing going on, and then we have this matching pledge, beautiful thing going on. And we also have a phenomenal person by the name of Inez Friedman, who's somewhere hiding. Who, without her, none of this would be happening. And she has been phenomenal in taking care of so much of the planning, the organization that this is required. It's required a lot of work. And so many of the details, the number of details she holds on her notebook is something else. But she has been working very hard so we could have a responsible fundraising campaign. We have a great fundraising committee of people who have been involved as well, supporting it all. And so with the committee and with Inez and myself, my involvement, I feel like we've done the best we can to come up with a responsible and hopefully appropriate fundraising campaign for kind of our fundraising, our financial culture that we have here. So we sent out earlier this week a fundraising letter. It was beautifully done. Elena, who's here somewhere, made a beautiful brochure for it. Thank you, Elena. We are going to kind of try to do a online campaign. It's done in an appropriate way. You know, we have a phenomenal amount of virtual Sangha members, people who connect to us because of the Audio Dharma all over the world. Just we were setting up here at 4 o'clock today for this event, and this couple walked in off the street and said, "We're from Colorado, and we just wanted to see IMC. You know, we've been listening to you for a long time." And Dharma tourists in Redwood City. So we have something like, how many downloads a year?
I don't know anymore.
Well, last time we knew.
Yeah.
It was something like
4 million.
2 million a year, I heard. 2 million downloads a year. So, I mean, maybe, you know, a lot of those are one person, but... We get a lot of letters from people expressing their gratitude, their support for what we do. and the online thing. So we're kind of, we never ask people really for donations, very little. I mean, there's a donation button, but we don't really ask. And so the idea is that it's appropriate this one time to reach out to this wider world of goodwill and support and gratitude that we have in the world, and let them know about this opportunity. And so we're putting together a plan like that as well. And other things, I can tell you more, but it's not really relevant maybe for you, but we've been trying to do the best we can. So that's the idea. Do you have anything you want to say or questions before we do a very official celebration launch? You know, it doesn't work unless you have a cake. Yes.
So it looks like you'll have 40 bedrooms?
Yeah.
And how many tenting spaces?
Yes, I don't think we don't our use permit, I don't think, is going to allow us to have tent spaces on the property. There's a limited because of the use permit we have, there's only a particular kind of use we can use the property for, or number of people we can have there. So I don't think that we're allowed to have tents there. But if we have the forest preserve, we can have tents there. Yes, Steve.
You know, the issue of tents, I mean, normally, like, you go to Vajrapani, there's a certain amount you get charged if you have a tent, if you're in the dormitory, if you're in the cabins. You know, this center's not like that, that we're going to have separate...
We'll pay you...
For,
no, we'll pay them to be a tent. No, I mean, if we have more people, we could have more people if we had tent sites, but that would only be... but we're not really ambitious that way to have the biggest possible retreat center. I mean, we want to serve people, the most people as possible, but we also want to do it in a way that works for everybody and it's kind of relaxed. And you know, we don't, you know, to have to, if it gets too big, it creates other issues. So I've given a lot of thought to the right size. And I didn't want to be too big because then it would lose a certain kind of familiarity, family feeling, sense of community, connection, kind of we're all in it together kind of feeling. I'm hoping that we can replicate at this place some of the feeling ways in which Nancy Reed has created for our retreats at Hidden Villa. Where's Nancy? Yep, there she is. And where the retreats and the kitchen are wonderfully connected and integrated. And so the size has been very important. If it's too small, then you can't have two teachers. And it's been very important to me that we have two teachers working together. And so that range of about 35 to 40 is just the right size.
Is there a deadline on the pledge, or excuse me, the match?
No. But that was not part of the discussion. It's...
How many parking places?
How many parking spaces?
Well, 21 right now. The county is asking us to put in 35, and there's plenty of room.
Yes, well, last one. Yes, Daniel.
Is there a plan for the different lengths of retreats that will be offered? So is it, will there be long retreats and short retreats? Or
yes.
Will there be a possibility also for doing like really long term? Like if you wanted to stay for like 4 months or?
Yeah. The standard retreat length, I mean, probably every month we'll have like a 10-day retreat. And then we'll have a couple of retreats shorter every month. It could be maybe one weekend retreat, maybe one 5-day retreat in addition. Some of that might vary from month to month. And then we would like to have once a year a month-long retreat and perhaps maybe a 2-week retreat. Like now we'd be doing a 2-week retreat every year. So continue that tradition and then add to it maybe 1 month that we do. We probably won't do that initially. We'll see how it all works. I don't think there's going to be much opportunities for 4 months that long. I don't think we have plans for that. At this point, we don't, but that might change. Maybe if we get the forest preserve, we might be able to... there could be a little bit of building can be done. You can't build any houses there, but maybe we can build a little meditation kuti, a little meditation hut. Or a tent platform or something where someone who wants to do long-term practice can just be right next door and very, very beautiful, quiet place to be. And that would go along with the forest tradition that they have in Buddhism. So that might work, but I doubt the four-month thing will work with just the building we have here. Someone mentioned the possibility of maybe someday in the distant future, in the next 13 years, we could buy some of the little homes nearby. And maybe one of those homes could be the Hermitage for such purpose. But, you know. I saw a hand, yes?
Are there going to be outside guest teachers?
Are there going to be outside guest teachers? Oh, yes. I can't do all the teaching. I mean, I'm looking forward to teaching more retreats, but that's one of the beautiful things about having retreat centers, to be able to invite in some really good teachers to come in. And not only will it benefit the retreat center to have these wonderful teachers coming, but it's going to benefit here at IMC as well, because it'll spill over effect here. You know, they'll come here and teach and things. It's also having a retreat center gives us opportunity to do different kinds of retreats. I mean, we really want to have, you know, the emphasis really be on the core Theravada and insight meditation retreats that are the center of it all. But we would like to occasionally have study retreats that Sati Center can do, where you study, you know, and there might be some special thematic retreats we do, certain populations of people that we might want to support. There was some talk a couple of years ago of supporting the mindfulness meditation program that's in place for people who practice mindfulness in prison at San Quentin, who've been released and want follow-up. And so it'd be great to offer them a chance to, because they kind of, it'd be helpful for them to have a particular style of teaching that that would be better served maybe by having something special. So there's a number of populations that might be big service we can offer to them to come do something there. Yeah.
I don't know if this is an appropriate question now, but I'm just kind of wondering what you expect after we reach the fundraising goal, what the monthly overhead will be in terms of running the property. Mm-hmm.
We don't know for sure, but we've done our best effort to gather all the information we needed to know what that would be. We're anticipating, so the yearly budget expense for the place is, you know, everything in food, you know, everything that's needed for running the place will be about $170,000. And the way our wonderful, carefully done, with the best information we have available to us, projection for the yearly income is $186,000 a year. But the reason why, you know, it's not such exact science, you know, because you can't exactly have a business plan when you give things away for free. But, you know, it has a lot to do with our best guess at what, you know, how people will support us. And so we're also already planning for a variety of ways in which we're going to have the ongoing financial support of the center. And so I think it'll be beautiful when the whole package is in place. So we have this beautiful cake. And it's so beautiful and so unbelievable, if you haven't looked at it yet, that somehow I can't feel like... I don't want to eat it. No, I tip it over. So, it's a photograph on top of the retreat center, and the photograph is made, I guess, from edible ink. But it's completely like a picture, like a photo, high resolution photograph. So. Oh, it's better than the original photograph. Inez says. So, in a few minutes, we're going to cut the cake out in the outer hall, and we'll kind of all take our turns going out there, and maybe slowly, I mean, not all at once, and take a cake, and if you don't like cake or don't eat it, then imagine you're doing it, visualize you're doing it. And as you eat this cake, I encourage you to reflect on all the goodness and the good dedication, intention, generosity that has gone into this endeavor already, and all the beautiful good intentions and goodwill and generosity that's going to go into the next phase of creating this retreat center, and all the goodness and goodwill that's going to go into having a retreat center, all the benefits it's going to bring, and feel that in the sweetness of the cake. And as you eat this, take it in and see if you can aspire that all that representative goodness as it goes into you gets transformed inside of you into the same beautiful goodwill, good intentions, purity of heart that goes into this. So you also can benefit from all this. And as it benefits you, may it leave you and go out and benefit everyone else. And so we have a big circle, and what we end up is a huge mutual support system, mutual benefit system. May we all benefit from each other's great work. Thank you.